This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Welcome to Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at scifinoise.com. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. You'll see a brand new site. If you've never been there before, it's been changed. Before, it was what I would like to refer to as a jukebox type of site. There were banners for each show website. So you click on it and you could go to the show of your choice, you know, sort of like when you click on stuff in a jukebox. Now it is a wiki format site. Anyway, it's a wiki. If you've ever used Wikipedia or any other type of media wiki site, then you'll be familiar with how it moves around. Yeah. Anyway, I'm on my way home from work, and usually I'm either listening to podcasts or I am listening to music, but I just don't feel like I'm just not in the mood. Very briefly, I was checking my email. It said that I had somebody referenced me on Facebook, so I went to go see what it was, of course, you know, the egomaniac that I am, and I read it, and since I was there, I scroll down to see what other kind of stories were in my timeline, and one popped up from comicbookmovie.com, which is fast becoming one of my favorite sites, because not only do they give news, but unlike a lot of places that just give you regurgitated press releases, or they just give you strictly blog posts, which is all just like 98% opinion with no basis in fact or reason. That is a very, very, very obscure reference, by the way. But anyway, they actually give you news when you go there with commentary. And, you know, it's not like they give news and then at the bottom it'll, you know, there'll be some heading that says commentary and they'll give you like two or three lines of commentary. But they'll give a news story and they will give their opinion. And usually they give you some history behind it. Which is, like, to me, is really impressive, especially for a comic book journalist, a journalism site, you know. But they were talking about a rumored show called Krypton, you know, and they mentioned some of the people who were involved with it, including David Goyer, who I am of mixed opinion regarding. David Goyer wrote Superman for a while, and if I'm not mistaken, he also wrote some of the early issues of JSA. I want to say that it was It was David Goyer and Jeff Johns, who were both, you know, TV guys until Johns became, you know, comic book guy. But anyway, I'm pretty sure that you know, that he was involved with that. And so I have a soft spot for his writing, for his creativity. However, he was also, and oh, plus, on the good side, he's part of the Constantine television show on NBC. It comes on in conjunction with Grimm, which is a really good show. But he was also behind Man of Steel. Man of Steel had some really good parts to it, but it also had some very poorly thought out parts. Okay. But this show that they're talking about seems like it's going to be the story of Krypton before, you know, Superman's origin. Sort of like how Gotham is the story of Gotham City before Batman. This would be the third Superman, not Superman show. The first, of course, was Smallville. Which, yeah, at the very end, he put on the costume. And he was doing superhero stuff throughout the 10 years that the show was on. But it still wasn't a Superman show, you know? If anything, it was close to a Superboy show, but not really. Because there was at least two Superboy shows, or at least two guys who played Superboy, if I recall correctly. So this is, this will be along that, those lines. Well, along lines of Gotham, I don't know what I'm saying right here. But there's also a Supergirl show that has been announced, and I have pretty high hopes for that one. Because if I remember correctly, it's going to be on like the CW. And as long as the CW does the thing with, like they did with Smallville, like what they do with a lot of their shows, where they focus on the character being a superhero and juggling a life, as opposed to just smash them up superheroics, you know. I think it'll do well, you know. Although we're gonna have to see Supergirl back in high school again, because I think a lot of people who have only been reading comics for the past few years don't really know that for a long time Supergirl, that was the entire the setting for her stories, you know. I forgot. I think it was Danville. No, her name was Linda Danvers. And I don't think they live in Danville, but it was something sort of generic. And a vast majority of her stories revolved around her being a teenager first, you know. Teenager first, superhero second. So there was a lot of teenage heartbreak stories. Imagine a story written by a middle-aged man about a teenage girl. And that's not pervy, you know. What 45-year-old men think that teenage girls are like. Okay, that's what a lot of those Supergirl stories were. You know, they weren't overly offensive at the time. But, you know, this was like the 50s and 60s, you know. So there wasn't like a whole lot of characterization going on. It really wasn't like deep soul-searching, complex stories. Most of it was high school bullshit. Just with superpowers, you know. Oh, the sky I like, and there's a big dance, you know, but there's a comet. No, not comet, because that was her horse. There's an asteroid about to hit Tokyo. You know, will I get back from the, you know, will I get back to the prom in time? That kind of stuff, you know. So, hopefully there will be some of that, but not too much, okay? They don't need to make it extremely complicated, okay? But at the same time, they don't need to make it panderingly stupid. So, we'll see. That's for Supergirl. For Krypton, like I said, this is David Goyer. He's got a lot of irons in the fire. And he wrote Man of Steel. He's one of those guys, and there's a lot of them out there who are writing superhero stories, who seem to forget that, and they seem to want to emphasize the super part, but not really the hero part. Because I was reading this, I don't remember where I read it from recently, and it might have been comic book, no, I don't think it was comic book movie, but there's this part where they pointed out on, you know, why superheroes don't kill. Ah, it was Mark Waid, and I actually read it on Playboy.com. Yeah, I went there for the articles. He was talking about this editor that he knew, who was a really good editor. He really liked him. The guy knew his job, knew it very well. But the one blind spot the guy had is he wondered why superheroes didn't kill. And so Mark Waid explained, you know, several decades later to a crowd of people who go to Playboy to read articles that, heroes do kill, because this guy was saying, you know, soldiers kill, policemen kill, so why shouldn't superheroes? And Mark Waid, quite rightly pointed out, yes, they kill as a last resort, you know. Unless you're a crooked cop, you just don't go around gunning people down in the streets. No, you try other means, and if there's no other recourse left, then, you know, you start blasting on. It's all about your what you consider imminent threat, I guess. But he was pointing out that, yeah, superheroes can kill, and the fact that they don't is what pretty much makes them heroes. Okay, they look for the peaceful method. They look for the non-lethal alternatives before they just go in with super strength and invulnerability and just start flying through people, you know, because that doesn't mean that you're a hero. It pretty much means that you're just a bully, you know. I mean, and think about it, he's absolutely right. There's a reason why superheroes don't kill, and it has little to do with the comics code authority. Now, yeah, you could say that a lot of it had to do with them, but hopefully the people who were writing, especially at that time, and I really wish that would have carried over to today, they would go out of their way to realize that, hey, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. Okay, we've all heard that. We all know that. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you necessarily should do it. So just because you have superpowers doesn't mean that you should use them against people who don't have them. You know, there's a reason why heroes only fight supervillains, okay? There's a reason why, you know, Batman is sort of a douchebag. Because here's this billionaire who's going around beating up, you know, purse snatchers. So, his parents were killed, but I wonder how many families he's broken up simply because he's putting a lot of people in jail. Or worse yet, depending on who's riding him, he just goes and he just cripples somebody. So, like I said, there's a reason why I don't really read a whole lot of Batman, you know. A benevolent billionaire going out trying to help people. But anyway, I think that people like Zack Snyder, the director of Man of Steel, and David Goyer, they emphasize the super part, you know, because there's some pretty cool action sequences in the movie, right? There's some just like there's this part where hologram Russell Crowe and Amy Adams have to shoot their way out of a Kryptonian base, you know, and that was cool. There's Superman facing the Kryptonians, going up against Zod. That was cool. But every time the movie went out of its way to show some sort of morality that could have taken a time to show Clark/Superman as a hero first and a superhero second, they dropped the ball, you know? When it was him, when he let his father die, okay? And yeah, I know his father said, don't come get me, but, you know, the guy had super speed, and quite frankly, if I had the choice between losing my father unnecessarily and revealing my powers to a bunch of people who probably would have kept their mouths shut, yeah, I would have saved my dad, okay? And, you know, in real life, if I could have given my father, you know, a kidney or a lung or half a heart or liver, or give him all my blood and then I take all his blood, if I could have done that to help him live, I would have done that in an instant. And I am one of those people who freely admits I'd be a better supervillain than a superhero. So if a supervillain would say that, then yeah, maybe you're having your characters make the wrong type of decisions, right? You know, there's that. And then everybody knows at the end, there's a lot of property damage in the movie Man of Steel. And then there's the question, you know, how far would you go to save another person? And for Kal-El, in this case, he went straight to snapping necks. You know, and then that's not cool. Yeah, that's superhero, especially nowadays, but that's not very hero-like. I'm kind of, like I said, I'm kind of hesitant to give him more, you know, superhero storytelling time, but maybe he's learned his lesson, you know. And if the people who had to deal with Man of Steel weren't so unapologetic about the fact that they took Superman and made him into a neck snapper, I might have a little bit more confidence in what they're going to do to the DC universe going forward. However, this is TV, so they're not going to have a whole lot of snapping necks. I was not a big fan of the Krypton segments of the movie. Hold on a second, because I need to put you on pause for a moment. Okay. Alright, so I was not a big fan of the Krypton scenes. But then again, I'm one of those people who believes that the Krypton portion of the Superman story is probably the least interesting part about him. Okay? I understand that they need to make him an alien to explain his powers, but I've always thought that his alienness is not what makes him an interesting character or a potentially interesting character. So when they go out of their way to spend a lot of time on Krypton. And it, that stuff just didn't work for me, you know? Especially, and since, you know, this is the guy who, like I said, this is David Goyer, who wrote the Krypton scenes in Man of Steel, I think we're going to get more along those lines, where there's going to be very, there's going to be very clear delineation between good and evil, you know? I want to say pre-Crisis. I'm trying to remember back to how John Byrne dealt with Krypton. I think he kind of made it like a cold, sterile place that was all about science. I'm almost positive, because I think that when Lara saw a image of like an Earthman without his shirt on, she got all bothered. Okay, she's like, oh, he looks like a Neanderthal. Although I don't know if she said Neanderthal, you know, or does it look like, oh, this looks so primitive, or something like that, something along those lines, where she was like, I don't like that hairy body. But at the same time, you know, everything was supposed to be more scientific. And so Jor-El and Lara actually digging each other was not really supposed to happen, at least back in the Byrne days. I really need to finish the World of Krypton books. I got them a long time ago. And I started reading that whole big crossover, but I still have not finished. Because it's all about what happens when Zod and his people come to Earth, you know? And everything I've read so far, I've really enjoyed. But like I said, I just haven't read everything yet. But anyway, so I don't know how it's going to work. And quite frankly, since we already know that Krypton is doomed, it sort of feels like another television show about a doomed society. And in that's Caprica. I will preface this by saying I have not watched a lot of Caprica. I watched part of the first episode, and if you remember what happens in the first episode, then you'll understand why I turned it off when my son decided to join me in the room. Okay, because at that time there were questions I just didn't want to answer. Now I'm just like, why bother hiding stuff from the boy, you know? But as I understand it, and I will watch Caprica, it is in my Netflix queue. But as I understand it, they went sort of away from the decadence of the society and more towards a science fiction type story. So I'm going to check it out. But, you know, just thinking about it, you know, like here's this society that we all know is doomed for destruction. Just seems like they just seem rather similar to me. So we will see. I'm kind of confused on how they're going to do it, though. You know, I should say intrigued more than confused, because with Gotham, they decided, hey, we're just going to do a cop show, because that basically that's all Gotham is. It's a cop and gangster show that's based in the place of Batman's birth. And a lot of people like to complain because Batman's not in it. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. But anyway, I'm looking to that site for more details as they become available. Anyway, I'm at home now. Thank you for listening, and I will be back soon with another episode.